the Lord. The Lord bless each and every one this evening. We do give you all a very warm welcome in our service tonight in the name of the Lord. And we want to turn to the book of Matthew. Matthew, and pray for our meetings of Brother John. We preach on Sunday morning. Pray for Brother John. And just sort of share with you, I think I mentioned to some of the brothers about the man that bought a shade of me and then came and gave some money back. And John, I don't believe he's saved. They call him John. I'm not sure of his wife's name, but he came to my house last night. He's heard my testimony on one of the sites, I think, that Brother Ryan Telford has it up. But his wife, he introduced me to his wife last night. She nursed Pastor McConnell, Jim McConnell, when he was dying. And she said that man really was bad right at the last. And she really was good to him. And her daughter also works in the hospital. And Brother McConnell, near the very last, told the daughter of this woman, make sure and tell your mom and thank her for how she's looked after me. And his testimony, he never preached to him. He prayed for several of the nurses, she said. He prayed for different nurses. But she was really struck by how he was right at the last, even when he's suffering and everything, the testimony he had. And that man heard on it where I told, where he called me out in the service and everything. I don't think they're saved or anything, but I believe God really spoke to that man. And his name's John. And then to meet his wife, she's a nurse, and everything just the other night. And I believe everything happens for a reason, for a purpose. And we just thank the Lord. Maybe, you know, God could save the both of them. They're a lot older than myself. Not maybe a lot, but they're older than myself, and I'm getting on rightly. But just pray for them. I can't remember the man's full name. His first name's John. Can't remember his wife's name. But I thought it was powerful to go out like that, to leave a testimony. And we just thank the Lord. Praise God. Let's read Matthew 16, verse 18 and 19 of Matthew 16. And I want, for a moment tonight, I don't want to try and go too quick, but I'm not going to be long. I don't mean that, but I want to just try and go slow and share with you some thoughts tonight about the church in the book of Acts. The church in the book of Acts. Verse 18 and 19. And I say also unto thee, this is verse 18 of Matthew 16. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, there's a lesson right there. When we think the church is not working, we're thinking of it maybe a particular place. But I'm going to show you tonight, the church is not just a particular place. The church is universal. And it's going to work. Because it says here it will. Verse 19, and I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will build my church. Who? God. God, not me, not you. I would surely fail, you would fail. But God says, I will build my church. It's God's church. Let's bow our heads. If you have a request tonight, just raise your hand to the Lord as we pray. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we just thank you this evening that we have such a privilege as the people of God that we can come boldly into your presence by the new and living way through the precious shed blood of the Lamb. Father, we thank thee for this privilege. We ask you that you will wash us afresh in the blood of the Lamb, and we shall be whiter than the driven snow. Purge us, and we shall be like hyssop. Search our hearts, Lord, and know our hearts today. Father,
moving every single one of us afresh and new by the Holy Spirit. Fill us afresh with the Holy Ghost, I pray. I do take the Holy Spirit to help me in Jesus Christ's name. I pray for every hand raised. Lord, you know every single need, every single situation. I lift them before you tonight. You're our high priest that can be touched by the feeling of our infirmities. Father, I'm asking you in the name of Jesus Christ that you'll meet every single need. Provision, financially, physically, spiritually. Bless and undertake. I ask for those, Lord, perhaps that's got cold. And Lord, you know every heart, every life, and every situation. Lord, breathe upon them afresh. Breathe in every one of us afresh with the Holy Spirit. Lord, I thank you for James McConnell's testimony to these people, and I pray you'll save them in the name of Jesus Christ. I ask you for all of our sons, all of our daughters, nieces and nephews, and all that's near and dear, and husbands and wives, every home representative in this congregation, that you'll save every single one of them. We claim them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless your brother John for this Sunday morning. We anoint him with the Holy Spirit, Lord, I pray. And Father, bless us tonight. Close us in with thyself. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. Praise the Lord. I will build my church. Praise God. This refers to the universal church. Now we know that the Catholic Church used to say they were the first church. And we know that a prophet of God said to them, if you are the first church, why do you not baptize the way the first church baptizes? Well, that finished it, didn't it? Because the last church, or the continuation, it's not really the last church. I suppose that's wrong, but the church that started at Pentecost continues till the Lord comes. So it's a continuation of the same church. It's not three churches. There's one church. One mystical body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you cannot join it. You're baptized into it by one Spirit, by one baptism, into that mystical body of Jesus Christ. There's one church, and it's called my church, not me, but God's church. Now God is going to build a church. Me or you can never build a church. We would fail, except the Lord builds a house. They that labor, labor in vain. It is God that's building his church. Not churches, one church, even as there was one tabernacle in the wilderness, not two. God chose one man, his name was Moses. There was other men around him, but he was the one chosen man, and he was God's voice to that generation and to that people, one man. And there was one chosen place of worship that was in that tabernacle. God did not meet them anywhere else but in the tabernacle under them badger skins. It looked beautiful when you looked at it the colors didn't look so beautiful from the distance because they were badger skins, but if you could unfold it, you would see the red, the scarlet, the purple, and all the beautiful colors, which every one of them represent Jesus Christ. And sometimes someone doesn't look so good, but when you come right into it, Jesus Christ must be in the midst of his church. Jesus Christ must be the center of his church. Our preaching cannot be about ourselves. If it is, we're wrong. If it's about an organization, we're wrong. Our preaching must be what the brother had up here. We preach Jesus Christ and him crucified. That has to be our preaching. Paul says that I would know nothing else amongst you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Christ must be the center of our church, our fellowship, of our lives, of everything. Jesus Christ must be the center. If anything else takes lordship over them, we need to get rid of it. That's why organizations can begin well. But then when they start to put someone up in front of God, and it takes the worship that God's due, it's apostasy. It becomes false. Though it can start well, it can become apostatized. And that's why we need the preaching of the Word of God to keep us on line upon line, precept upon precept. The book of Acts shows us clearly how the early believers accepted this concept. And the outworking of this is the true church, one church. I will build my church. The early believers counted themselves a part of the one universal church. Whether they were, whatever location they were in, they were still part of the one church. The church over there wasn't different from the church over here. That church over there baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. This church over here baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Now we'd kid ourselves, have we said everything was exactly the same? How many knows it wouldn't have been every word the same? It wouldn't have been. But the main fundamentals were the same. They were all one church. Now there's churches in that, plural in the sense of fellowship, but there's still one universal church. Praise God. Whenever they gathered together and counted themselves as part of the heavenly Jerusalem, hear me this evening, we're going to go to Hebrews 12 in a moment here, the heavenly Jerusalem. They would gather to the heavenly Zion, heavenly Jerusalem, to the general assembly of the church of the firstborn ones, Hebrews 12, 22 to 24. But ye are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, unto an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. It is God that perfects you and me. We cannot perfect ourselves. It is God through the word and the blood that perfects us. And we are perfect in Christ Jesus. How many knows that? Romans 8:1 says there is now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Verse 24 says also, unto Jesus a mediator of a new covenant, to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel's. And we know Abel's blood was able to speak to God from the ground. And it spoke from the ground where the thorns were, from the curse. And Abel's blood cried for vengeance, but Christ's blood cries for mercy. There's a lesson in that for every one of us. Abel was a shepherd. Christ was a shepherd. But Abel's blood cried for vengeance against Cain. But Christ on the cross, under the thorns, under the curse, cried for mercy. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. We need to ask God for mercy. Some of you brothers often pray it. It's a wonderful thing to pray, Lord, in wrath, remember mercy. And every one of us, we need mercy for our sons, mercy for our daughters, mercy for all that's near and dear to us. We need to be praying for God's mercy. And we surely believe that the angels of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear the Lord. Many times you've been protected, I've been protected because of the angels of the Lord. And the angels are not far away, they can be near you. And they're there to protect us. And the Bible speaks a lot about angels. And angels been near God's people. And the Bible says many have entertained angels unawares. But they don't even know they've done it, but they've entertained angels. The earthly Jerusalem where the church began under Pentecost light pouring. So the church began under the Pentecost light pouring. The Spirit symbolized this truth. This is a truth that you cannot alter in the Word of God. It's impossible to go to the book of Acts and do away with the Holy Spirit. It's impossible to be a student of the Bible and say you don't need the baptism and the movement of the Spirit. For Acts 2:39 says a promise is unto you and to your children, and to them that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. If the first church began at Pentecost, then the continuation of that church, if it's going to be the real, genuine church, it has to have the same Pentecostal blessing. Hear this evening. It'll be a tongue-talking, Holy Ghost-filled church, and it'll not be ashamed of it. There's buildings that are Pentecostal written on them, but they're not Pentecostal. But we don't want to have Pentecostal written up. We want to have the experience of Pentecost in our lives. We want to be the Pentecostal, and the Pentecostal is a good word. And we hear it often said it's a bad word in some places, but we hear, I believe I'm speaking right, we believe in it. We believe the Pentecostal experience and the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and we need it, especially in the hour and in the day we're living in. The disciples were part of the one universal church, the church that Christ said he would build. Matthew 16, verse 18, I say also unto thee, Peter, upon this rock I will build my church. And we know that God's prophet said that as a revelation of who Jesus Christ is. He's building the church on that revelation of who Jesus Christ is. Now remember the word of God. No man can know me save to him whom the Son will reveal him. No man can come unto me except my Father draweth him. It is God that draws men and women. If we see somebody saved, we can't take no credit. It must go to God. It is God that draws us, and if we can use a worm like me or you, praise God for it. But it's all about him. And I've said before, there's men like Billy Graham that saw the multitudes come. Then there's maybe we pastor that God's called to look after a handful of people. But if that man is in the will of God, he's doing all God called him to do. He might not be a Billy Graham, but he's doing his part. He's still a stone within the wall. A stone that's needed within the wall. And don't be discouraged. I want you to be encouraged tonight in the Lord. Every single one in this room, God has a purpose for you. God has a reason for you. And you're born into that one true church for a purpose and for a reason. And the devil might tell you, you're no use and no good, but the Lord loves you. And the Lord's a calling for you and a purpose for you. Maybe you're not a preacher. Maybe you are a preacher. That's only God can decide that. But do whatever God's called you to do. Like God's prophet said, if you're just a housewife, be a good housewife. Be whatever God's called you to be. The Bible says in Acts 2:47, they were added to the church. God added to the church. This idea of me or you adding to the church, maybe we think that sometimes, but if we do, myself included, it's wrong. It's a wrong concept. Me and you cannot add to the church. If you do, you'll have a proselyte. How many knows there's lots of proselytes about? But are they really born again? Somebody that's really born again, you'll not have to carry them to church on your back. They'll be fit to come on their own two feet because they're son and they're a daughter of God. They'll want to come. They'll want to serve the Lord. Acts 2:47, praising God, having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Also in Ephesians 1:22, Christ was the head of the church. There's no man's the head of the church. The pastor's only a shepherd. That's what a pastor means, a shepherd of the flock. But you have apostles, you have prophets, you have evangelists, you have teachers. There's a fivefold ministry. Then there's gifts, then there's governments, then there's helps, there's deacons and all the different things in the church. All as we come together in one unity and one body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is the head of the church. Not even a prophet's the head of the church. If somebody puts a picture up of a prophet and said, that's the head of our church, that's apostasy. Do you know that? Now, you have went quiet, but that's absolutely the truth. Jesus Christ is the head of the church. And any true prophet will say, I do not point you to myself. I point you to Jesus Christ. He's my head. You know, some people take it really extreme with views on even pastorship. And they say that all the wives are wives to the pastor. That's false teaching. There's not one scripture for that. How many believes that? They are all under the shepherd, Christ. That's the shepherd you're under. Not a man. We're not following a man. If we're following a man, we're sorry state. It is Jesus Christ, the only man we're to follow. The Lord Jesus Christ. The wisdom of God was known by the true church. Ephesians 3, verse 10. Let's read verse 10 down to 21. Bear with me this evening. To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. So the church has to know the manifold wisdom of God. God sends us revelation from his word, and God gives us wisdom. Now, how are you going to know the truth? You're going to have the Holy Spirit. That's the Bible doctrine and the Bible principle. For the Bible says, when you receive the Holy Spirit, he will lead you and guide you into all truth. You need no man to teach you, for the anointing will teach you all things. Is that the word of God? So there's your starting point. You need the Holy Spirit. Do you see why it's so important? You can't overemphasize the importance we need of the Holy Spirit today. Some people never preach about the Holy Spirit. But we need to preach about the Holy Spirit. Verse 11, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by faith in him. Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulation for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ had a Father. He's not his own Father. Now we believe Jesus is God in flesh, but we do not believe Jesus is his own Father. We don't believe that. We believe he is the Son of God, the only begotten Son. A special, unique one. That's what it means. He was with the Father, in the bosom of the Father, from the foundation of the world. But he has a Father. And the Father he has is our Father. And the Bible says we can cry, Abba, Father. And Jesus himself says that the Father sent me, so send I you. Hallelujah. Verse 14, for this cause I bow my knee. Verse 15, in whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of glory to be strengthened with might by a spirit unto the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, and ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, the height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all fullness of God. All the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can think or ask, according to the power that worketh in us. The power that worketh in us. There is a power in you tonight, brother. There's a power in you tonight, sister, that maybe you don't realize. And that power is the power of the Holy Spirit. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. There is a strength within you that you don't need. None of us can fully comprehend that power that is within every true believer. Verse 21, unto him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. The church is the body of Christ. That's the true church. Now let me say this evening, there's different organizations, but let me say this, there's precious people, there's eagles everywhere. You can't throw a blanket over every group and say they're all rubbish, they're all no good. I know men in the Church of Ireland, and they're genuinely saved men, and I knew a Church of Ireland minister that had a healing ministry, and he's one of the best preachers you'd ever hear. And I believe he was even baptized with the Holy Ghost, Church of Ireland. Now you couldn't throw a blanket over them all. Someone's dead, we know that. But yet withal, everywhere there's good and genuine people. Everywhere. There's eagles everywhere. I believe that. Do you believe that tonight? Ephesians 5, 23 to 32. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. There's one of the big problems today. And I'm going to say this tonight. We see so much of women today ruling and government voted into places of authority that they should never have been in. The man said to me, women pastors and all that. I said, show me where Jesus Christ ever called. The 12 was all men. None of them was women. Now there was great women of God. We know that. And there has been great women of God. And women can operate gifts and do wonderful things. We believe that. But a woman is not to be a teacher of the Word of God. She's forbidden according to the Bible. And some people don't go with that. That's all right. But that's the Word of God. I suffer a woman not to teach, nor absorb authority over the man, but to be in subjection to their own husband. Now the spiritual side of this is, that's the natural, but the spiritual side is, we cannot absorb authority over our head. Christ. But we are to be in subjection to him. It is him we need to hear. Not ourselves. We need to hear the Lord. He's our head. And you know, you hear people saying that so many testimonies over the years for people fell out with God and they blame God for things. Then they had to repent. They had to get right with God. Then God blessed them. And you know, the devil wants you to blame God. I'm telling you. So many people today, the devil wants to tell you God never answered you, and he wants you to blame God. And maybe you prayed for somebody and they weren't healed. But I mentioned one other night that secret things belong to God. There's things we will never know in this life that belong to God. But God knows what he's doing. You know, many times at a funeral, maybe we've lost someone we wouldn't want to lose. All of us could say that. But then think of the opportunity where the gospel can be preached. And I want to say this evening, there's so many ministers, and I'm judging nobody, but I'm telling you the truth. A minister that does not preach the gospel at a funeral will have to answer to God. It's an opportunity to preach the gospel. An opportunity, men that maybe wouldn't come to church that could hear the gospel. Now I'm telling you about these pigeon men, and that's only one of them. There's many of them. And they've been listening in during the lockdown. They've never ever come into a church building, some of them. But they've heard the gospel. Now whether they come or not, that's not up to me. It's God that's built this church. It's not up to you. If you've been faithful to do what God's called you to do, then it's up to God. You have done what God called you to do. One soweth, one watereth. The Lord giveth the increase. The Lord giveth the increase. Then in the scripture it says you reap for you never even sowed. Isn't that wonderful? Reap for you never even sowed. Praise God. Colossians 1, 18 and verse 24. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. He's the firstfruits, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Verse 24. Who now rejoice in my suffering for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ and my flesh, for his body's sake, which is the church. So you can't label somewhere it says a church on it and say that's the church, that's it. You see, there's groups and they've got a bit of knowledge, that's fair enough. But they get to the point where they think they're the only ones. And then they take a big marker and they put an X through everybody else. Everybody else is out. If you don't see it the way we see it, you'll not go in the rapture. Many's ever heard that. It's all around the world, everywhere. But yet with all, the Bible says the Holy Spirit's what you need to go in the rapture. And if somebody has the Holy Spirit, they're baptized into the mystical body of Christ. And Ephesians says you're sealed unto the day of redemption. Hallelujah. God can't lose you once you're sealed in there. That's unto the day of redemption. Then there's different grades. Let me say it like that, and I hope that's not the wrong way to put it, but understand what I'm saying. There's people, they'll be foolish virgin, that's the way they're going to go. And there's people being the bride, that's the way they're going to go. But let me say this. If you or me had a son or a daughter, and they got in, and just got in, would you not be happy? Now certainly you want them to be in the highest part or whatever way they can get in. But I'll tell you, there's men going to hell. And if they just get saved and get in with the skin of their teeth, they're still in. It's better than being lost. So a man that's winning souls for the Lord, maybe he preaches a bit, but if he's winning souls for the Lord, he's still doing something. And I tell you, there's a number coming out of the tribulation that no man can number. They're not the bride. They're foolish virgin. But the Bible says they're robed in white. Robed in white. How can you be robed in white without the blood of Jesus? The Bible tells you to wash in the blood of the Lamb. Is that right? They're robed in white. And many will die during the tribulation. And we know the day the world's gone crazy. People get into things without thinking about it. The day in the world we're living in. But God's still building his church. Still building his church. The church is his house. Just like the tabernacle, just like the temple was his dwelling place, the church is God's dwelling place today. 1 Timothy 3, verse 5 and 15. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth. So every one of us have a responsibility first in our homes. Now that's the hard part, isn't it? It's hard in our own home. Now I'm speaking for myself. I have a family, I have children, and it's hard to bring them up. It's hard to do the right thing with them. And some of us come from different backgrounds, and maybe some of us has come from a background for the iron rod was used. Force. But force doesn't always work. I've learned that. That doesn't always work. Now it's good, the Bible says, spare the rod and spoil the child. We know that. We know it's went in an extreme today. It's went to extremes, you know. One extreme where there's no rule at all, where there's no rod whatsoever, then the other extreme for you're half killed. But the middle of the road's about right, isn't it? There has to be correction, but it has to be done in love. And every son that he loves, he chastises. Is that right? And if we're not illegitimate, and I'm not going to use a word, but you know the word says that then we will receive correction if we're a true child of God. Isn't that right? And we want to believe we're the true child of God. Sometimes God corrects us. Christ was in the midst of the church, his worshipping congregation, Hebrews 2, verse 12, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praises unto them. In the midst of the church. That doesn't mean one of the we organizations, that's just church universal. The church universal spoke of the mystical union and a spiritual body. Of the habitation of the Spirit having Jesus Christ as its head. Of all believers everywhere at all times. It is not spoken of as a visible sense, but it is an invisible union of all true believers in Jesus Christ. And remember, Brother Branham preached the message, the invisible union. And there's an invisible union because the true church is in union with the Holy Spirit. There's a union. Some of us happened, and they're in the true church. Led by the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 3 verse 21. Unto him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ throughout all ages. World without end. Amen. Ephesians 2 19 22. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of apostles and prophets. Do you realize that statement alone? A lot of places couldn't be called a church. They wouldn't accept the foundation of the apostles and prophets. How many knows that's the truth now? So that means they're apostate. You couldn't class them as a true church. They're apostate. If they can't accept the doctrine and the foundation set for the apostles and prophets, it says, be careful how you build thereupon. For there's one foundation and there's one master builder. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the master builder. Verse 21, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple of the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Hallelujah. Now the church local. We're the church local. We're a part of the true church. We could say we're a local little church. There's other little churches. But we're not the church completely. We're just part of it. However, within some universal church, there are many churches, various localities all over the world. All were the same and part of the same thing, even though there were many different churches in different places. The concept maintained the unity of the church universal and the church local. Look at the church in Matthew. It's the seed book. The best concept of the local church we've read in Matthew 18, verse 15 to 20. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee. And you wouldn't think of this verse for the church, but follow me. Follow this. Chapter 18, verse 15 down. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses the word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear thee, tell it unto the church. Now that wouldn't mean the whole church universally. That God means a local assembly. You wouldn't publish over the whole world, tell every single part of the body over the world what a problem is in your own church, would you? You don't do that. It's not scriptural to do it. You deal with it in your own assembly, the way the Bible says. So this word church here doesn't mean universally over the world. It means the assembly that you're in. Verse 18, verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Look right on down 19. And again I shall unto you if two or three agree. Verse 20. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. Now look at verse 17 says, and if he neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be to thee as an heathen and as a publican. So if someone comes that far, what else can you do about it? Well, we're trusting that that's not going to happen with any of us. At least I don't want it to happen anyway. Who does? I hope you'll have mercy on that. Praise God. Amen. This passage is applicable to the church local, not universal. Now let me say this, and I'm going to have to close in a moment. Where will God meet us? Now I'm not going to read it. Deuteronomy 12, 15 to 18. Deuteronomy 16, verse 2 and 22. I'll read Deuteronomy 16, 2 and 22, just to bring a point across. Thou shalt therefore sacrifice the Passover unto the Lord thy God, and the flock and the herd, the place where the Lord shall choose to put place his name there. So you have to do it in the place where God chooses. Now that would have been in the tabernacle or in Solomon's temple. But that place today is not in Solomon's temple. And that place today is not the tabernacle. But that place today is in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. For God has put his name. And God's chosen place of worship is in his name. So therefore, for two or three are gathered together in my name, I'm in the midst. That's part of the church. You can meet over in a field, and if it's genuine believers meeting in his name, you're part of the church. In the Old Testament, the only place was allowed by the Lord for Israel to meet was either the tabernacle or the temple where God chose to put his name. Jerusalem was a place for his name was recorded, and all gathered together there for worship and festival times. In the New Testament, you gather in his name, 1 Corinthians 1, 1 to 2. Paul called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. And not dead, they're living too. A lot of people's praying to dead saints, but he's talking here to living ones. Amen. With all that in every place call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, both theirs and ours. Now I want to read you this, and I'm closing in a moment. Let me read this, and then we're going to close and we're going to pray. God has not chosen to put his name in any denomination. I want the scripture for it, if it is. I know they claim he has, but he hasn't. He cannot put his name in any places because he said he'd put his name in one place. And that one place, each one of our denominations wants to say, they're the place, but that's contrary. But where did he put his name now? What is his name? First we'll have the name, find what God's name is before we can find where he put that name. Now we find out that he had many titles. He's called Father, it's a title. He's called Son, it's a title. He's called Holy Spirit, it's a title. He's called Rosh Hashanah, Lily of Valley, Morning Star, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Rapha, seven different compound redemptive names. And all of them were titles, none of them were the name. But his name, when he met Moses, he had not a name yet, and he told him, I am. And when we see Jesus on earth speaking in Hebrews chapter 6, and St. John, I am that I am. They said, "Where you're a man not over 50 years old. And he said he was before Abraham. He said before Abraham was, I am was the one, burning bush, the pillar of fire. That was a burning bush back in the days of Moses. I am the I am. And now we find out Jesus said, I come in my Father's name. and you receive me not, then the name of the Father must be Jesus. Have you come in his Father's name? That's right, the name of the Father is Jesus, because Jesus said, I carry my Father's name. I come in the Father's name, and you receive me not. Then his name was Jesus. And Gabriel called him Jesus. The prophets called him Jesus. He was absolutely Jesus before his birth. Even the holy prophets called him Emmanuel, which is God with us. Isaiah 9 verse 6. His name's Jesus. So God's chosen place of worship where he's put his name. Now I'm going to say tonight, we not, might not be recognized by a certain group over here and a certain group over here. And we certainly don't go with the idea, if you don't tick all the boxes, you're not in our group. But if we're met in his name, how many believe you're part of the true church? And we're gathered here tonight in Orange Hall. But we've come here to meet in his name. The name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we're meant in. Now when I started the meetings in 1994, 93, I thought Omega Ministry, because Omega means end time. That's the only reason that I thought of it. And they put it down and they went, well, Omega Ministry is just the name, end time ministry, which we want to believe we are. But it's not about coming to Omega Ministry, it's about coming to Christ. And it's about his name. Can we lift his name tonight in prayer? Can we come tonight? I want you to be encouraged and know you're part of the true church. And you're really saved and born again. Nobody can put you out because they never put you in. Isn't that great? Amen. Brother, you're still in. Sister, you're still in. On to the day of redemption. Let's bow our heads and let's pray this evening. Heavenly Father, we do bow before you tonight. In the lovely name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the Word of God, for the Word of God sets us free. Your Word is light, for your Word is a lamp under our feet and a light under our path. Light the way before us, O God. Lord, you can furnish a table in the wilderness. You're able to save, you're able to deliver, you're able to heal. Set free. Lord, I pray you'll bless every brother and every sister under this roof tonight. Save the wife, save the husband, save the sons, save the daughters, the grandchildren, grandsons and daughters, and all that's near and dear. Tell every one of us a saving and save them, every one. In Jesus' precious name. Father, we ask for those this evening, maybe that couldn't come or those that didn't want to come. We pray that the Holy Spirit will move on them and bless them and draw them closer to yourself. We think of maybe some, Lord, that made a decision and came to you some time back, but they're getting cold. We pray, Lord, you'll restore them, you'll renew them, that you'll begin to burn the flame within them again. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Father, we commit it all to you this evening and this service to thee. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Let's continue to seek the Lord.